Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into U-SWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of at-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's Biblical Focus Group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Well, hello there, U-SWAT listeners. This is Selena Olivia, president of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in tonight for Dr. Breland, as we are doing this entire month, as these particular broadcasts are designed and dedicated to the equipping and training of those of us who are in the Ministry of the Arts in the church, whether it's dance, music, or theater. This month, the broadcasts, including Sunday nights and Thursday nights, are dedicated to training, encouraging, edification for you. Today is Sunday. I'm going to say happy Sunday to you. And tonight, we're continuing the PNW Sunday series, which PNW stands for Praise and Worship. And these broadcasts are designed to provide training and expression in regards to the worship leading for the praise teams and praise and worship leaders of the local churches, as well as ministers of music, which there is a difference between the two. Before I go into tonight's lesson, I wanted to give some quick announcements. First of all, ministers of music, those of you who are not only the Minister of Music as far as overseeing the music department for your particular local church, but you happen to be the one who's on the boards, as I call them, or many call them, who are pianists or keyboardists. You play the piano, keyboard, or organ. There is a business and ministry by the name of Hear and Play Group that provides DVD and CD tutorials for learning, particularly with a black flavor to it, or a urban flavor to it, tutorials for praying, playing gospel and praise music. The owner and CEO is Jermaine Griggs, who has been a minister of music for some time now in the, I believe, Missionary Baptist Church. At any rate, it's him and many other instructors who have partnered with him. And as I said last week, I have been a directly affected musician with this particular music group. I purchased a CD, I believe it was sometime last year, early last year, and within the first 15 minutes of watching the DVD, my playing changed. After 15 minutes, I was so eager to apply the things that I already saw, I paused the DVD, went to the keyboard, and immediately saw changes. And I'm not saying this to exaggerate the effectiveness of these tutorials. They're just that effective. And those of you who will take the time to actually go on my website, rimalyrics.webs.com, you'll find links there and some information there about the products and even some freebies, as we say, in web world or on the Internet, some freebies for you to download or view. There's plenty of videos on YouTube where you can see not only the instructors but students who have actually recorded their own videos. Just go on rimalyrics.webs.com and you'll find a few links there and some information about Hear and Play products. Also, there is a blog by the name of BGJ Greats, and that's B for blues, G for gospel, and J for jazz, Greats blog. Now, this blog is dedicated to the legends of gospel music. It has blues and jazz in the name because both of those genres have contributed to gospel music. And there may, as I said last week, be some gospel either tracks or videos that are posted on the blog that happen to be performed by secular artists, but the majority, 98.999%, of the material that's posted on the blog will be with gospel music industry professionals. For the sake of celebrating gospel music industry, it seems to be that those who haven't exactly had the marketability of others are not celebrated enough, and that's our goal, to celebrate those who have not necessarily been in the limelight but have contributed much to the gospel music industry. Also, I Need a Word single is now available for download. If you go to myspace.com/Selena Olivia, and that's my middle name, Olivia, and Selena is spelled S-U-L-E-N-A, Olivia is O-L-I-V-I-A. If you go to that website, you'll see information for downloading I Need a Word. I Need a Word is a single, is a song track, excuse me, that I was blessed to record back in 2004. Yes, back in 2004. It's blessed many hearts. And download it today so you can have the experience of it blessing you. Last announcement, Faith in the Arts social network site is to launch in August 2009. This site is for you. You will be able to network with other ministers of music, other gospel music musicians or music professionals, period. Even those of you who are aspiring to or already in the entertainment portion, the law, the legal portion of the music industry. Those of you who may not be a musician, but you are into the music industry at some form, A&R person, whoever you are, we want you to join that social networking site. So there could be a networking amongst faith-based musicians, particularly of the Christian faith. We're going to have educational tutorials, blog posts of various forms, articles or information. We'll even have a directory that will have the different companies and associations and organizations that will be represented by the members of the social network and more. It'll be quite a bit of applications and features that will be initiated month by month. So sign up is now available. You can contact rhemalyrics.poetic@gmail.com, or you can even call Urban Glory Campaigns, our main number, 641-715-3900, extension 6261083, or you can email Urban Glory Campaigns by emailing the email address urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com, urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com. Now that's it for the announcements, and let's go right into the lesson. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time and fellowship again on this Sunday evening, and we thank you how each of us have gone into our respective local ministries again on this Sunday to worship you, as we have devoted and committed ourselves to worshiping you in the corporate and individual settings. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the vision and mission of the overall kingdom being in the hearts of our various pastors, and it being shared with us in our hearts so we can be in line with what you have for us to do in our local churches. We thank you that you've revealed many things, and you are going to reveal more and manifest your glory in our churches. You're going to manifest your glory in the churches that we have committed ourselves to. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you that you are always with us, and you will show yourself strong throughout these broadcasts and throughout all of our lives. I ask you to bless each minister of music that is listening to the sound of my voice, and anyone who is aspiring in music ministry, that they would be encouraged and that they would have a sound and firm foundation of your word and a oneness, a relationship with you, first of all, that is sound and continuum, and that it will be expressed through our various ministry gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, of course, is PNW Sundays, Praise and Worship Sundays. Tonight, we're going to talk about the foundation of a faith-filled integrity, foundation of faith-filled integrity, of course, in music ministry. The objective for Praise and Worship Sundays, as I said before, is to contribute to the development of you, ministers of music, and the excellence of your ministry, to build a foundation of faith-filled integrity and structure that breathes or exudes glorious excellence. Excellence in worship toward God and excellence in ministry or aiding toward people. Foundation of faith-filled integrity. Now, the first step to establishing music ministry, whether at the individual level, as a soloist or vocalist, or a pianist that just does instrumentals or what have you, or a corporate group-like level, which is the majority of you who consider yourselves ministers of music. You are in charge of a music department. So there's a corporate or group level responsibility there. In this ministry, just as any other ministry, the first step is to establish integrity. Integrity in the devotion and life of you as an individual, as well as the heart and operation of the ministry that you are called to. Just as you as an individual, your devotion breathes through your life, in your ministry, the heart and spirit and motive of your particular ministry breathes through your ministry. So wherever your heart and your spirit is, and the core of why you're doing what you're called to do will breathe, first of all, out of your life and your devotion, and that will create the heart or the core of your ministry, and that, in turn, will breathe through your ministry operation. So it's important as you begin to approach music ministry that you secure your integrity as a person, first of all, and as a minister, before you even approach the specific or the concentration of music in ministry. So it's important, and pastors that are hearing this, it's important that whoever is aspiring to direct your music ministry first acquaints with the Word of God at the level of a minister, not just basics of the scripture or completing foundation class or whatever you may call it, your particular local church, but they should have the same responsibility of learning the scripture, rightly dividing the Word of God, just as any other minister. The songs that are written, the songs that are sang, the times of exhortation that many ministers of music take in between songs, before songs, they should have words that are sound. No matter how, if you say five words before a song, it should be according to knowledge, as scripture tells us, and not just zeal, but having a zeal that's according to knowledge. There should be excitement. There should be an exuberance about what we do. And it should be according to knowledge. Every person who is considered any type of minister in our church should be acquainted, not only acquainted, but be experts in the scripture. The theological stance should be sound and according to knowledge of the Word of God, revelation knowledge at that. It's important for us as ministers of music, if we're approaching it, if you just know that you're called and you haven't even actually had the chance to operate, you're at a great point right now to be hearing this. You need to set a firm foundation. And even those of you who are at churches that may not require that, you initiate it. You have no excuse now that you've heard it. You initiate being acquainted, well acquainted with the Word of God. Scripture tells us to walk worthy of our vocation, and this includes our life and ministry. We are to have a life and ministry of integrity. Integrity is explained in Hebrew origin as wholeness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 speaks about God sanctifying us wholly, wholly, entire, our entire being. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He is faithful, we should be faithful as well. Just as he is holy, we are to be holy. He's called us to be holy as he is holy. Prosperity and in its entirety is given to us in scripture. That is the explanation within the Hebrew origin definition of integrity as well. 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Integrity also is explained in Hebrew origin as purity. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth. This is Paul talking to Timothy. The latter portion says, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Timothy was being developed by the Spirit and by Paul into a minister, into a evangelist as well, one who travels and speaks the word. And in his preparation, Paul continuously urged him in this matter as far as being an example. He urged him concerning purity. And in this particular verse, he talks about him being an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This is imperative for us as ministers, period, to be an example. And in not being sound in these things and sure and establishing these things just for the sake of being an example, but for the fact that it is required by the one who is in us, God himself. In Philippians, I quote the scripture all the time, Philippians 2:13, it's he that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that works in us. And we know Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He works in us, and it's up to us to work out what he has worked inside of our hearts. And we do that because we love him. We do that because we're one with him. And in doing that, we are an example to the believers. I've seen many times where persons put on a certain falseness of humility or love. They act as if they are walking in love for the sake of, oh, I've got to be an example. But the motive and the core of our being an example, or as Paul used the word, a written epistle among men, is because of our oneness and our love for God. That is the origin, that is the motive. Love toward God and toward others is to be our motive. It's to be the motivator. Faith worketh by love, and we walk according to faith. And the love of God in our heart, that as Scripture says, shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, is to motivate our life, our walking out of what our belief system is, what we believe. We believe what God has said. We believe that God not only exists, but he rewards them that diligently seek him, and that he is one with us. We are one with him, he and us, and we and him, and we're one in Christ, in the Spirit, and we operate according to that love and walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another. Soundness is explained, integrity is explained in the English origin as soundness of mind, soundness of speech, and decency. Soundness of mind is spoken of in 2 Timothy 1:7, where Paul says to Timothy, he encourages Timothy throughout the things that he was going through as far as imprisonment and all of the persecution that he was dealing with. He was telling Timothy to be encouraged, and he was telling him he was fortifying his mind, being sound and secure. And he gave reference to and spoke of a spiritual principle and truth that applies to every believer's life, and especially those who, and first of all, those who are in ministry, because if we don't reach this point, we can't reach back and convert. We cannot strengthen our brother, because we're first to be converted, as Jesus says in Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Soundness of speech is spoken of in Titus 2:8. But speak thou the things which become a sound doctrine. That's verse 1. And verse 8 says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This truth must be implanted in the hearts of this generation now that is in the music industry and in the ministry of music, because it has been briefly spoken on and lightly dealt with in past times, but we must, especially in this time, starting 2009, allow this truth in itself, a soundness of speech, which also would include conduct, should be so evident in our lives that, as Paul said to Titus, the contrary part, which is the world or secular society, cannot, they would actually be ashamed, because they will not have anything to say of you. They may try to say something, they may try to write up reports, media may try to catch you in a scandal, but they won't, because your speech is sound and because your life and your conduct is sound. It's important for us to set that up now. If you are aspiring to, some of you will reach a global stage, some of you will just be local. It's according to what he wills. It's according to his will, whether the world sees you or not. There is a world that is ordained for you, and it may be 500 miles wide, or it may be 500,000 miles wide. It's according to what God has willed for your life. And be, as Paul says, be content with whatever he is given whatever measure He has given for you, be content with that. It's important for us to get that foundation now, that our speech be sound and that our lives and our conduct be sound. And not for the sake of no one being able to say anything, but for the sake of pleasing God first. And knowing that in that, being reassured that in us securing a foundation of a life of godliness, that no one will be able to put their mouths on you successfully. Whatever weapon is formed will be condemned. And the scripture actually says these words, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And it says, in judgment, you will condemn. You condemn it through your sound speech and your sound life. You condemn it. Matthew 5:37, Jesus speaks these words, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. James 5:12 follows right along with Jesus and says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but that your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. There have been a couple of instances with notable gospel industry artists who, because of the pressure of media and even the church, have come out and some have sworn. Some have spoken just simply out of frustration. And it is important for us, as there is a song out actually by Sherry of Ted and Sherry, to encourage yourself. It's important for us, if no one else encourages us. Now, there's broadcasts and there's mediums that are being used for encouragement, exhortation, edification, for instruction and training like this one, but they're few, far, and in between. If you have not heard enough, encourage yourself. If you have not heard enough encouragement from the pastor you're serving under, the ministers that you're serving with, your colleagues in either music ministry or ministry as a whole, if you have not heard enough encouragement, don't be discouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Too many times, scandal-driven situations have caused those in the limelight to get frustrated and actually lash back. It's important for us to be sound in our own mind and encourage ourselves enough and fellowship with those who are of like faith and who are walking in the light as He is in light, having fellowship one with another, so that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us continuously of every sin, cleansing our conscience. Having a pure conscience so our mind doesn't go crazy because of the persecution and the attack. That the enemy, he's our enemy. He's going to attack. And sometimes, because persons give place to him, it's in the church and those who are right near us, because someone at a distance doesn't have an effect, and he knows that. So he'll try to use or even be successful in using them, but the weapon that is formed through that particular tactic or attack will not be prosperous. It will not succeed because we are God's. We are in him and he is in us. So it's important for us to be sound in our mind. It's important for us to be encourage ourselves, and allow the truth to be our shield, and allow the truth to be ever in our mouths. We speak the truth in love, and we walk according to truth, letting our yea be yea and our nay be nay, unless we fall into condemnation, as James says. We will not be condemned if we walk in the Spirit, as Romans 8 says. Decency is in the English origin of integrity. And we all know about the decency scripture with Paul to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, we see where Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. Paul states this after giving instruction concerning the ministry gift operation in corporate worship. And we know that he speaks of between chapters 12 through 14, 13 talks about love and how love is to motivate every gift. And 12 and 14 deal with the specifics of the gifts. And in our operation of gifts, now music can often and does often, is often used as a medium for a prophetic message to be gotten across, or even a encouraging message or a healing message. So you'll see anointed musicians team up with persons who are called to healing ministries, or even they themselves be called to healing ministry, or they may operate in the office of a prophet or be just simply prophetic. And the medium of music is used as, if you will, a vehicle to carry that word from the mind and the heart of God to the person or body of persons that it is ordained for. So you'll see music being used as that type of medium, that type of vehicle, in many worship settings. In the operation of those gifts, it's important for us to have a foundation in our heart and our mind of decency and order. And that comes out of our devotion. If you see a person who's not operating in order, 9 times out of 10, their devotion is not consistent and their devotion is not sound. Their devotion is based on error, and therefore they operate in error. It's important for us to secure and be establishing a foundation of decency and order, operating in truth and order. Integrity is expressed in Scripture by Jesus and his communication to the disciples. You see him teaching continuously and unfolding the will of the Father whenever he had the opportunity. Whenever the opportunity presented itself, he would unfold Scripture. You see oftentimes where he would speak a parable and the disciples would question him, or he would even just initiate conversation with them and unfold to them the revelation of what he just spoke of. And in his teaching continuously, you always saw that he never changed. He was always consistent, and he was always faithful, faith-filled. He always operated in the power of God. He always operated one with the Father. So you saw that there was no, as we see in Scripture, no shadow of turning with him. The only time you see even a hint of that is in the garden, but he quickly said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Pharisees and Sadducees, he communicated to them with integrity, answering their actions and questions with truth to their error. I want to go back to the disciples' point that I just made. I use the word hint purposely because I don't want anyone to say, as she said, there was a shadow of turning in Jesus who is God in the flesh. A hint of shadow of turning, but he quickly said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." So there was no shadow, but there was a hint of him wanting to not wanting to do what was ordained for him to do. It was the cross. Come on, y'all. It was the cross. But as we say all the time, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus expressed integrity in his communication to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He answered their questions and their actions and questions with, listen to this, truth to their error. And in their attempted snares, he revealed their hearts, as Simeon prophesied to Mary, as recorded in Luke 2:35. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And many of the hearts were revealed while he walked this earth. And in our operation and ministry, imitating and following the life of Jesus and his example, many hearts will be revealed, whether good or bad. I've seen it happen prophetically. Words have been sang or spoken, as I talked about earlier, with the medium of music being an accompaniment or a compliment, and hearts are revealed and people come to a point of repentance. That can and will happen in our churches again. Jesus communicated, or he expressed integrity in his operation and in life, in authority, understanding that he was authority itself. In Mark 12 and 15 through 17, Jesus answers another snare attempt of the Pharisees with the statement and command, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, as well as his coming before Pontius Pilate just before his false accusing and suffering of the death of the cross, as recorded in Mark 15, Matthew 27, Luke 23, and John 18. He expressed integrity also with his unity with the Father. In spirit and word and in deed. In John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. In John 5:30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. Unity and deed, he does, is shown, excuse me, in John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. We see unity of Jesus with the Father in spirit, word, and in deed. He said only what he heard the Father say. He did only what he saw the Father do. His judgment is just. As he heard, he judged. As he heard, he said it. As he heard, he spoke. As he saw, he did. We see integrity expressed by Paul to the churches in Romans, Corinthians, letters 1 and 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians, letters 1 and 2. He pleaded to them the persecution and requirement toward he and the other persons of ministry to walk worthy of their vocation. And he made statements of death to those of us in ministry, that the lead he may live, and more statements like these. Paul, in his communication to Timothy, Philemon, and Titus, as he mentored many times, being referred to as a father in the gospel to them. And he also referred to that phrase as well, fathered in the gospel. Integrity is exposed to the home, to the church, and to the world. Those of us in music ministry must take care of things at home before we approach ministry. It's said many times to preachers, if you don't take care of home, how can you do the things that are in the house of God? It's the same thing with those who are in the ministry of music. It's a ministry. We are not exempt. You can't be traveling all over the world or always at the church, directing the choir and directing the praise and worship team, telling the youth choir and the children's choir what to do. When you get home, your house is a mess. Finances all over the place, and children are not in obedience because you are not consistent and not fathering them correctly or not being a mother to them correctly. Your house has to be straight, and the Word talks about that. 1 Timothy 3 and 5, for if any man or woman know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? 1 Timothy 5 and 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than infidel, is worse than a sinner. That's just self-explanatory. I'm not even going to give commentary on that. Integrity is exposed to the church. 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21 reads, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 1 Peter 2 and 4 through 6 reads, to whom coming as unto a live of living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. We are lively stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is the mission statement of our lives as believers, the mission statement of our ministry life as ministers of music. The purpose, the objective of all that we do when we come together is to offer up spiritual sacrifices, is to offer up worship, is to offer up praise and give glory to his name, not our name, not our churches. There is a place for honoring those who are in ministry leadership. There is a time and a place for that. Ultimately, our worship services are to worship God, because we don't worship one another. We are not to worship any God other than him. Integrity is exposed or expressed to the world. Matthew 5 and 13 through 14 reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There are benefits to embodying integrity in our life and in our ministry. We have peace of mind. We have a reputable life. It brings us bodily health. Our ministry is positively affected. Our integrity ensures a clear channel for the liberty of the Spirit on all fronts in ministry operation and in daily application. So when it comes to the Sunday worship services, those of you have plural, multiple amounts, or even midweek services or conferences that go on in our local church or those that we are called to serve in, there is a clear channel for the liberty of the Spirit consistently. And even in our integrity in what we do, even with our taking care of our bodies, there will be a clear channel and a continuum of effectiveness, because our bodies take longer to get fatigue. There will be a consistency. If there, for example, is a conference that runs, you have, say, three services on Sunday, and then throughout the week there's a conference that is going on the entire week. Now, there is a place for wisdom. You are one person with a great God inside you and for you, and at the same time, you are human. So that we have a physical body that can go only to so much alone. So there, God will give you wisdom and strategy on alternating shifts and structuring. And we're going to talk about this, I believe, this next Sunday concerning structure. It's so important for you to structure the music ministry and department that you are over in a way where it's not a one-man or one-woman show. It's not about you. It's about God and the ministry that you've been called to. So it's important for you. And next month, we'll be talking about the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, actually the first 10, I believe. And in those laws of leadership, it talks about delegation and actually building up, developing persons to be able to take your place. In the body of Christ, in the church of God, in the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as that false sense of job security as you would see in a secular, in the secular world. There is a such thing as persons creating their own false job security by making themselves absolutely indispensable. They don't delegate anything to anybody. They don't train anyone to do what they do so that they're always needed. And that is it's improper. It is false. because God will give you strategies and order your steps to where you can train others to take your place and you keep excelling right into glory. And you can get to a point financially, because that's usually our concern, money-wise. You can get to a point financially where you have multiple streams of income, that money is working for you rather than you working for money. So that's not a concern. And the sooner you get to that point, the better it is, because that temptation of operating according to higher rather than operating according to the spirit would not be an issue. The sooner you get to that stage. There are many hirelings out there that will do anything for money, even in Christendom, in the worldwide church. There are those who will put on a show, entertain, and the worship setting is not no longer a worship setting. It's just a social club that just happens to have a steeple on it or have a church name or a worship center name in front of it, but there's entertainers. There's actors. It's so, so prevalent. But there is an elect, precious people that I believe is coming up and being developed right now by the Spirit of God and will be manifested to the world, not only in music ministry, but in ministry, period. Those who are genuine and have integrity, filled lives and ministry. Integrity imperatives are a responsibility to responsiveness. Integrity says from the beginning, I will wait on his timing because it is as he wills. It's according to his will. Integrity initiates ministry operation. Romans 12, 6 through 8 reads, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Proportion of faith or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Every gift according to the grace that is given to us, let's do it to the proportion of our faith, is what Paul is saying here in Romans 12. Integrity says, I will go by his leading. Operating in my ministry gift, I will go by his leading. Not what I want to do, when I want to do it. Not at a timing that I think I'm going to get one-in-a-lifetime exposure, but because he says to. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. Reads, but all these worketh that one in the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All of these gifts. Again, that's in 1 Corinthians 12, the chapter. One of three chapters that talks about the operation of spiritual gifts in the church. Integrity concludes that it's over when God says it's over. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. It's over when God says it's over. I will not, as they say, milk out every penny or ounce of notoriety or limelight out of a ministry that has been dissolved just because I'm so-and-so. Just because my name has been printed on so many CDs or books or advertisements for conferences or what have you, I'm not going to milk out every ounce of what I can get out of my career or ministry just because it's not a selfish thing. Integrity concludes or resolves that it's over when God says it's over, as well as knowing it's begun when he says it's begun. We try to start things before time, and it's up to God. It is his, it's as he will. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8 says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them, all them, also that love his appearing. Paul realized that his assignment had been completed according to the righteous judgment of the Lord. Being one spirit with him, he knew the timing of God and when his part was complete, just as Jesus did toward the end of his life and his earthly ministry. Now, I'm not saying that ministry always ends at the end of life, but we'll know the end of our ministry or the end of a season of ministry, because there's different seasons or levels, or just particularly different responsibilities at different times in our lives. You may be responsible for entire music ministry for one portion of your life, and then you pass it on to the next generation. And at that point, you're overseeing or you're a board member. There's different aspects or seasons. There may be times where a time in your life where God moves you to another ministry that is either in the same association or is just another ministry who you've been called to minister to. I actually have had that happen with me. I served in the music ministry at the church I was born and raised at for some years, and the call of God called my entire family. And when I say my entire family, I mean my father, mother, and my siblings and I, to go to a church that was about 50 miles away. And there, my music ministry actually excelled. I was a praise and worship leader at the church I was born and raised at. And when I moved to the other church, I was actually pushed by the Spirit of God into actually being a minister of music over the entire music department, to the point of me directing the praise and worship team, directing all the choirs, also being involved in drama. We didn't have a dance team, being involved in drama, but more so the music department. So praise and worship team was under my direction, all of the choirs, including the youth choir, until the pastor's daughter actually stepped up for the youngest choir. But I had two choirs under my direction, as well as the praise and worship team. So I learned a lot of things through what they call school hard knocks, what to do, what not to do. And then I learned to begin to observe those who were in music ministry, who actually operated in it according to excellence and according to the Spirit of God. So I began to observe different things, and then I moved to another region, and now I'm at the point where I am learning more things concerning ministry as a whole, preparing for different things that you'll hear about and see in ministry, and more so doing a lot of writing and directly mentoring some persons in music ministry. So there's different levels and different seasons. That's what I'm referring to when I say that. So you know, God will reveal to you when to leave or when that particular quote-unquote season is over. He will reveal to you and direct you. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And as we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he directs our path. Integrity concludes that it's over when God says it's over. Integrity is initiated when we renew our mind, when we draw nigh to God, and we work out what he's worked in us. Integrity maintained means to continue in love, in faith, and in works. We continue in love according to his Spirit. We see in Romans 8:38-39, Paul says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You have to resolve that in your mind, and nothing's going to separate you from his love. 2 John 1:6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." Walk in what? In love. Continue in faith. In Luke 22:32, 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, these two scriptures refer and speak of that. Luke 22:32 says, "But I have prayed for thee," these are words of Jesus, "that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen your brother." We have to get to the point of non-failing faith, a point of true conversion, before we even approach strengthening our brother. There's too many persons in ministry, period, but I'm talking to you, ministers of music. There's too many of us getting up before the congregation and our worship leading and our, whether it's the with the praise team or just being a facilitator of the service, particularly with services that are more geared toward musical presentation, concerts or what have you. We get up and we say everything on the moon. We say everything that just comes to our mind. And don't let us be going through something. It will come out. Don't do that. It's according to the Spirit of God. It's according to what God wants done, what the people are needing, and what God wants done. There's different times in the worship services for this different types of music, and we're going to talk about that in future broadcasts. But just to give an overview, there's a time where there's songs that are sang of worship. We're simply sacrificing, giving a sweet-smelling sacrifice, savor toward God, where it's to Him. There's no focus or concentration on nobody but Him. Now, there's also songs that are message songs that are to be of exhortation and edification to the congregation. Then there's also songs of celebration, where it ends up glorifying God. You're not speaking directly to Him, but you're celebrating what He's done. So it brings glory to Him. There's different types of songs, and those different types of songs are designated and ordained for different times in the worship service. When it's time for worship, we should not be singing, "I need you, you need me." That has nothing to do with worship. That is a fact. That song was written for the purpose of edification to the body. You have to really qualify the words. I could talk on that all night. But songs of that nature or "We're Gonna Make It," those are encouraging or songs of exhortation. That's not worship. Worship is, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." You're talking to Him. "To worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy." You're talking to Him. That's worship. Praise the same way. "Thank you, Lord." "Thank you, Lord." That's, "Thank you, Lord." Praise. "I praise you." Those are songs of praise and songs of worship. Those are supposed to go toward Him. Now, there's songs of message where you're speaking to the congregation. Stand. What do you do when you've done all you can? You stand. Stand on what? The Word of God. That's a song, a message song. Then there's songs of celebration where you just talk about God is good all the time. God is good type of song or words. And the song, that's the different types of songs, and there's different portions of even different atmospheres that they belong in. There's songs of celebration, there's songs of a message or a story, depiction. There's a song that's sang by a choir. I won't say the names because I don't want to get into that habit, but there's a song of a choir that is based on Matthew 28 that depicts a story. And the musical content and definitely the words hold so much power, and there is a complementary relationship between the two, the text or the words and the music, the lyrics and the music, that makes the song so powerful. The words are straight scripture, and the emphasis or the climax of the song emphasizes the particular part of the chapter that talks about the resurrection of Jesus, which is the gospel. See that in Romans 1:16. So when it comes to the worship setting, there are different types of songs, and we are to come to a place of conversion before we begin to strengthen our brethren. And many times when I spoke before, the error in our worship comes from the fact that we haven't even been converted ourselves. It's important for us to be converted. We also are to integrity, in integrity and ministry and leadership. We duplicate it through strengthening our brother after we're converted, as I talked about, also bearing the burdens of our colleagues. As we walk in the light, as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another. In that fellowship, as we are going throughout this life, and we are faced with persecution, are faced with attack, we can encourage one another and we can strengthen one another, bearing each other's burdens. And we see in Galatians basically saying we take the burdens of the others. We are showing care toward them and love toward them, bearing their burdens and taking them to the Lord, actually being concerned about what's going on with our colleagues. In the gospel, we see Galatians 6 and 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Integrity in ministry and leadership is also duplicated when fruitful fellowship remains, when we continue to fellowship one with another. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Ephesians 5:19-20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms, with speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. We give thanks always for giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks these words to the church of Ephesus, encouraging them on the edification that is to take place not only with us individually, but corporately as a body. Paul talks concerning that as a minister of music, anyone who is approaching ministry in any form, whether it's music ministry, whether it's ministry of evangelism, ministry in teaching, ministry as a prophet, ministry as a overseer or bishop, ministry as a pastor, one who's responsible to be, as we say in the church, an under-shepherd, being responsible for the souls of multiple persons. Any ministry, it's important for us, before approaching it, to establish integrity in our lives, and that will in turn breed through our ministry. So we have a sound mind, we have a sound heart, we have a sound lifestyle, sound conduct, and it breathes out in our ministries. In music ministry, we will not sing a song that's not pleasing to God. We will not conduct a music department that's not pleasing to God. We will not treat those who are in our leadership or under our direction any old kind of way. We will be kind, as Scripture says, especially to those in the house of God, because it pleases God. Integrity in ministry says that, it communicates that. The song of it is, I will please God. The song of it is, I will love God. I will love my neighbor as myself. I will speak the truth in love. Integrity in ministry says all of these things. And ultimately, God is the one who is to be praised and to be worshipped. So it breathes through our life and in turn our ministry. It's important for us to have integrity. Tune in on Thursday for Theory Thursdays, and also on Tuesday for Timeless Teaching series. We're continuing the study of the Spirit-Filled Believer. We're talking about foundational teachings on a more deeper note. It'll be a study within the text as well as commentary from myself. And on Thursday, we'll be back in Theory Thursdays, speaking more so on music theory and the skill and technique of not only music ministry, but dance, particularly liturgical dancing and theater. When we do drama, having the overall objective in mind, having the undergoing objective in mind and specific goals and objectives for each dance and for each season and for each year, having yearly themes and things of that nature, having a structure to the various ministries that we're speaking of, music, dance, and theater. I thank you for listening, you SWAT listeners. Have a great night. Have a great Monday, no matter what type of work you're going into, whether it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 10. those of you who go and attend, you blessed. Anyway, if you whatever work that you're going into on Monday, have a great Monday. Enjoy your week. And be consistent with your devotion and your prayer time with God for the sake of your life and the lives of others that are affected by you, whether they're family or those who you happen to minister to. Have a great night, and I will talk to you on Thursday. And again, on next Sunday, we will be having an interview coming up either this next Sunday or the Sunday after that with a minister of music who I've actually known for quite some time. She served with her father, who is a pastor, father and mother, who are pastors of a great church in Maryland, Harford County, Maryland, to be exact. And we're going to hear from her concerning her experience in music ministry and some words of wisdom from her. So we're excited about that, and I'm going to stop talking, and we will talk again on Tuesday and Thursday. Have a great night. Bye-bye.